happening. The open house for the Astoria Public Library takes place from 4:30 to 6:30, just in advance of a city council meeting at 7, where a presentation will be made about the future of the library. If you want to weigh in on this very important resource for all of us, the place to be tonight from 4:30 to 6:30 is the Astoria Public Library. And we will find out why, what's happening about the Astoria Library and also about the City of Astoria from my guest today. In the studio, I have Kevin Cronin. He is the City of Astoria Community Development Director. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Donna. It's great to be back.
Very glad to have you here today. And I also have Kate Summers. Kate is the Chair of the Astoria Library Board. Hi, Kate.
Good morning.
Before we start talking about the Astoria Public Library, so dear and important to all of us, let's learn a little bit about each one of you. So, Kate, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, thank you. I'd be happy to. I've been in Astoria for 3 years. We came here for my husband to take a job with the county. And the first stop I made in town was literally the library. My daughter and I came to kill some time, check out books, and it was such a warm and welcoming spot. I've been involved ever since.
And you were living in Portland before. What were you doing there, Kate?
Yes, I was taking care of my daughter, and now I'm pleased to be working at the Clatsop Community College Library. I'm a writing tutor there.
Marvelous. Oh, excellent. Thank you. All right, so words mean a lot to you.
They do indeed.
Okay. Kevin, please tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. So I've been in Astoria almost a year. I can't believe I actually said that, but it'll be in July, it'll be a year. And I came here to be the Community Development Director, which oversees a couple different things. One is planning, zoning, building, economic development. Those are some of the general things that I do, but every day it almost changes in terms of what I'm asked to do at the City of Astoria, and it's a really great, fun job that I get to be a part of.
And you moved here from?
I moved here from Portland as well. So my previous job was with the Portland Development Commission, where I got to work in outer southeast Portland. And so some of the same skill sets that I was able to use there, I've been able to apply here in a small town setting here in Astoria. So it's been just a great fit all around.
Yeah. Were you familiar with Astoria very much before you
moved here? Yeah. So I've been coming out here for years with my family. And so one of the first stops that we did was the library as well. So I've had my eye on the library for a long time, even before I became an Astorian.
All right. Well, let's talk about the library then. So why are we having an open house tonight with a presentation about options for a new library?
So the community's had this conversation about what to do with the library. So the library was built in 1967, and it looks like it was built in 1967. It's an architecture. It's called Brutalist architecture, and it has a very distinct look and feel to it, as opposed to the historic buildings in our historic district. So it really sort of sticks out for better or for worse, depending on your opinion of architecture. It's been a long overdue for something to happen with the library, whether it's deferred maintenance or it's a new library or it's a renovation of the existing library. That conversation has been ongoing here in Astoria for many, many years. So back in 2013, the library issued or commissioned a needs assessment, which is essentially a way to look at, if we're going to do a new library, what are some of the programs and some of the services that we want to provide moving forward? That is a foundational piece for the amount of square footage that we need in order to have a thriving library over the next 20 to 50 years. And the result of that commission study was 18,000 square feet. So you'll be hearing a lot about 18,000 square feet as sort of a goal that we have in mind when we're looking at all these options tonight at the open house.
What do we currently have now?
So we have about 9,000 square feet. So we need to double our square footage.
Double the square footage, right. Yeah. And I know it needs to be brought into, I mean, it needs to be modernized. I mean, there are a lot of issues with the building. I know our librarian Jane Tucker was talking about there are drips. It's just they're not able to fully offer the programs, and the building doesn't support all of the different uses that apparently, you know, really we have a need for.
That's right. So if you walk into the library, there is no ADA access, American with Disabilities Act access. Mm. So no crash bars, no push buttons. It's very difficult to access the bathrooms. The mezzanine level, which is where the adult fiction is, and which is where I go a lot when I go to the library, there's only a stairs. There's no elevator. There's no lift. So that's just a clear example of some of the improvements that we need to do to the library just to bring it up to code. And so those are some of the things that we'll be presenting tonight at the open house.
from your perspective, Kate, why are we at this juncture where we have to look at either renovating or building a brand new library? And what have you learned over the time you've lived here and been involved with the library?
That's a great question. My first exposure to the changes that were coming was that needs assessment that Kevin just talked about in the fall of 2013. I went to the kickoff event to that. I was one of the hundreds of Astorians that gave feedback on what the future of the library would look like. And I think because of the challenges Kevin said, and because of what we want Astoria to be in terms of a community, and how we value that learning, the community involvement, the activities that the library brings, that's what really is the goal for the city council, and we just have to figure out how to do it. And I think what the board has really been focusing on is the positive and achievable goals of that needs assessment, with spaces for people, spaces for children with their families, spaces for teens, and the beauty, light, and activities that people, real Astorians, want in the winter at the library.
And Kevin, if people say, "Well, gosh, we've been here before. We've done this before. We had consultants come in. People came in. They weighed in. And tonight, people can weigh in." So, what is different now from where we were when we had this? We were at kind of this juncture before.
That's right. So, last December, we presented a consultant report to the City Council about the Heritage Square options. The council did not make any decisions around Heritage Square because they really wanted an apples-to-apples comparison with the existing library, because a lot of the public feedback that we got at the open house, as well as the city council meeting, the other meetings that we held, were like, well, how come we're not considering this or that? So this open house tonight is a true apples-to-apples comparison with the various options of the existing library, as well as the Waldorf next door. Compare that to Heritage Square, which we had a conversation with the community this last year, at the end of 2015.
So tonight, the consultants who have been doing this work will be there. The entire library board will be there. Kevin, you will be there, obviously.
Absolutely.
Folks from the city, because maybe we should talk about the fact that how the library is funded and supported. It's really under the auspices of the city of Astoria.
That is correct. The library, police, and fire are general fund departments, and so they receive funds through the city council in the budget hearing process. In fact, we will have a budget hearing in June to look at all city departments. Those three departments use general funds, so it's property tax revenue and other revenues that come in to support various city services. Libraries typically are funded through the county, whereas here in the city of Astoria, we provide that service. The city provides lots of different services. We're a full-service city that provides a number of different services that are not provided by other special districts or other county government or other government agencies. So we do a lot here in Astoria. We've had lots of conversations on your program about the Parks Department, how they have to fund their things. And so it's a challenge to be able to fund everything in a story. So that's part of the conversation tonight.
Yes, although the library has certainly, it's at the top of the list. I know that the library really has, just over the last few years, that has been a focus of intense interest for folks. Mm-hmm. And so tonight, people will have a chance from 4:30 to 6:30 at the library to just come in, look at these various options with costs, and say, okay, here's what happens if we renovate where we are. Here's what happens if we incorporate the Waldorf. Here's what happens if we go to Heritage Square. How many options are there,
Kevin? We have six options.
Six options.
Yep. Four of those options are combinations of using the existing library. So whether it's looking at the basement, looking at the parking lot, or looking at the Waldorf Merwin Hotel location, those are four options right there. And then we compare those to just general options that we looked at Heritage Square. So you'll have a sort of a one-stop shop experience tonight.
That's excellent. And then the public will be able to weigh in, right, Kate?
Yes, please come talk to me. Tell me what you think. I've been hearing a lot about renovation passion. I've been hearing a lot of folks that really want the library at Heritage Square. So come and have your voice heard.
And I think I remember I have been to some events similar to this in the past. And so there are these options, and you can read you know, look at the cost, all of that, and then you can not vote, but essentially you put your sticky note and say, this is my favorite, and here's why I think that this makes sense. So you really, tonight before the city council meeting, you really want the public to give their opinion on these six options.
That's absolutely right. So we'll have various ways folks can provide comments. We'll have the traditional sticky notes available that people can write comments. We'll also have a survey card, and you can actually literally vote on which one you think is the best fit and then score the one that is the worst fit. And so you can hand that in, and we're going to actually tally those results very quickly between the open house and the city council meeting and provide those results to the city council. In addition, we'll have a 30-day comment period. So, Donna, if you're not able to make it tonight, you'll be able to go online and look at the plans and to be able to vote as well. And then eventually, city council will come back together, hopefully in July, and start really talking about what the next steps are in terms of which one do we want to select and move forward with.
And I think a big question, too, is funding. How is this funded?
So that is the toughest question, right? And that's something that the city council is really going to have to wrestle with. Part of my job as staff and part of Brett's job as the city manager is to figure out, how do we fund this? What combination of funds can we use from existing city resources as well as other grants, foundations, and fundraising can we do to build a new library? So that is going to be part of the conversation once the city council makes a selection of where it goes.
Okay.
That's the next big milestone.
I can also speak a little bit more about funding. The Astoria Library is also working with David Oser and his wife on developing a foundation, which will also be able to collect and fundraise for the library building, and they already have a seed bit of money. So I have also a background in fundraising, so I'm excited to talk to people about how they can contribute to the library outside of their regular tax monies.
And we do already have some resources set aside for this, too.
We do, actually. Kate can probably speak to the seed fund, but we actually, as part of the budget hearing process that I was mentioning earlier, we have additional money set aside to act as leverage or act as additional seed money to attract other funders. It's showing a clear commitment by the city council that we want this project to happen. And it sends a clear signal to the funders out there that really we mean business and we really want you to be a part of this project.
Right. And Kate, I'm sure that the Library Board looks at grants and all kinds of ways to, yeah.
We have been waiting, holding our breath, waiting for the city council to just tell us go. We're chomping at the bit to get going and raise money for our new shiny library, which will help bring to fruition.
So this is your opportunity tonight, 4:30 to 6:30, and you can just come in and weigh in. If you want to hear the full presentation, then you can go to the city council meeting at 7. However, all of the opinions and ideas and thoughts that the public is giving tonight to the city staff, to the library board, to the consultants, are going to be taken into account before the city council meeting tonight. So I really strongly urge all of you who are listening to come to the library tonight sometime between 4:30 and 6:30. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking with Kevin Cronin. He is the City of Astoria Community Development Director, and Kate Summers. Kate is the chair of the Astoria Library Board. And we've been discussing the open house tonight from 4:30 to 6:30, where the public can weigh in on the future of our library. Kevin, let's talk a little bit about the city of Astoria in general and about what's happening. And then I'm going to ask Kate to talk a little bit about what's happening at the library as well.
Okay. So we've got a number of different city council goals in addition to looking at Heritage Square. And I'll mention a few of those. First and foremost, one of the things that I hear probably most about, other than the library Heritage Square, is affordable housing or just housing in general. I've experienced that myself moving here. There's an extremely low inventory for sale homes. There's very low inventory for apartments. And the demand is at an all-time high. Our economy is doing fairly well right now. The unemployment rate is super low, which is great. But that puts a huge demand on housing. We have lots of Coast Guard families that can't find housing. We have lots of new employees who are trying to take positions, whether it's at Columbia Memorial Hospital or some of the other large employers, and they can't find housing. So we have a real crunch right now, And so the city council for the last 2 years has said, okay, what are we going to do about this issue? So this is the way we're handling it right now. So city council is going to be taking a look probably sometime in July at some what are called housing code amendments. It's a very sort of bureaucratic term, but it's a way to look at our zoning code to encourage more housing opportunities. So we could be looking at lowering lot sizes from, say, 5,000 square feet to 4,500 square feet. We could be looking at increasing more accessory dwelling units, also known as granny flats or mother-in-law units. Say you have a garage on your property and you're just really using it for storage right now. Could you convert that garage to a living unit and provide a space for someone to live as well as provide another source of income to the property owner? So we're looking at that. Tiny homes are all the rage right now. Anyone who watches any TV these days has seen either HGTV or some of these other cable channels that talks about tiny homes. Other than vacation rentals, tiny homes is the second most popular inquiry we get at City Hall.
So, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Can you believe that? So people are really interested in downsizing and looking at that as an alternative to very expensive housing that we have here in Astoria. So we're looking at ways to encourage tiny homes as an accessory dwelling unit. It would be essentially located on the site, put on a foundation, hooked up to city utilities, and then strapped down so it would withstand our typical winter storm, as you know, can be pretty intense here in Astoria. So that's another way we're trying to address the affordable housing issue. And then lastly, we've done some administrative things to sort of encourage more turnover in some of our vacant properties. We still have a couple vacant properties we need to deal with here in Astoria, and they are eyesores. Everyone agrees. So the question is, how do we encourage more turnover? So what we've started is a database of vacant properties. So if a realtor or developer or someone is interested in buying that property, we can provide that information to them. So we're kind of a matchmaker, if you will, to encourage the some fixer-uppers, if you will, in Astoria.
And I believe there was a study done. I think there was a study done on where affordable housing or where housing units could go. And I think there's talk of something out near Lewis and Clark area. And that so it's not that we don't have some of – we do have some – property where that would be appropriate.
Yeah, so in Astoria City Limits, we have a few large properties left. We have what's called the Central School site. We have a few properties in the downtown area. And we have the Blue Ridge area, as well as a property across from the Tongue Point Job Corps site property. Those are pretty much the only large properties we have left in Astoria where you're going to see a larger development. So the reason we're looking at the housing code amendments is we have smaller lots that are around between 10,000 and 20,000 square feet. And just for reference, an acre is 43,560 square feet. So we have a lot of smaller lots that can be divided or we call partitioned in order to create more developable lots for home builders to be able to put a home on there or the property owner to be able to put a home on there. So we're looking at a small ball strategy, if you will, as well as trying to encourage the redevelopment of these larger properties. In addition, one final thing, we have a couple of old housing units above storefronts in downtown that have not been touched in decades for whatever reason. So we need to figure out a way to incent the renovation of those housing units because there's lots of folks that love living in downtown. And so if we can find a way to partner with those property owners or if they change hands and they get the hands in somebody else that wants to do something with those housing units, we need to find a way to partner with those folks.
It seems that, I mean, there are a lot of changes that are going on in Astoria right now. Mm-hmm. It has caught the imagination of the hipsters. I guess that's a term that people are using a lot
these
days.
I'm not one of those hipsters, Donna.
No.
Nor am I.
I'm not sure how would we, and I've once asked someone, like, well, what is the definition of a hipster?
And oh, that's a whole other program.
Yes. And it's like, well, once something is cool, then they move on to the next thing that's cool. But I don't know. However, I do know that there is a vibrancy in downtown Astoria with, you know, with so much happening with it. Has the meat market opened now? Has one of them opened
already?
So
there are two butcher shops that are interested in locating in downtown. One is almost ready to open. I don't know if they've announced a grand opening date or ribbon cutting or anything like that.
Where is that?
It is going to be located just next to Old Town Framing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right downtown. Yeah. In the heart of downtown.
Yes. And the other one, they're still actually looking for a site right now.
Okay, that's right. I do remember I read that in the Business Journal. Yeah, exactly. And then another brew pub.
Yes, Reach Break Brewing. There was actually an article in Delia yesterday about that.
Yes.
It's a sour beer producer looking to go, or not looking, they're actually building out the space in Astoria Indoor Supply.
Right.
And then we have interest in other folks in the space next door. So we could see some really cool things happening on Duane Street here in this summer.
For a cidery, I think it is.
That
right?
is correct.
Yes. So now here's this little tiny town of, like, what are we, 10,000 still-ish?
We are about 9,500.
9,500, yep. Okay. And so much happening, the culture, everything. That's so unusual for a small town in the United States, truly, to have these kind of resources. So now it's just a matter of, as you say, planning for the future and how is that all going to look, and what are the challenges that come with the fact that everyone now loves Astoria so much and wants to be here.
So we're talking about a few things there, and the housing situation that we have right now is pretty interesting. We have a lot of folks that want to retire here in Astoria and sort of live in that traditional house. We were talking about hipsters. When I think hipsters, I think millennials. Millennials don't necessarily want to own a house. They want to live in an apartment. So we have to create different housing options for different demographics that are coming to Astoria. So we're talking about trying to renovate the old units above storefronts. How about new apartments in downtown? Or how about tiny homes? Or how about row houses? Those are different housing options for different types of folks. Not everybody wants to own and maintain a very large single-family home.
Exactly. And how do we keep the locals who have lived here, the artists and the people who, you know, that gritty authenticity, that character which is here, so important to hang? And because we don't want to become... you know, too gentrified. That was the word a long time ago. Shiny, polished. It needs to be still, you know, true to its roots, you know, maintain its integrity.
And yeah, the way to do that is to own the property. So whether it's an organization like AVA, Astoria Visual Arts, if they want to get in the real estate business, they can control that property and then set the rents for those spaces for artists. They have a very strong artist in residence program. So maybe that's another level to that organization. The city probably will not get into the housing business. I don't see our city council moving into kind of a landlord-type situation where we're going to be owning and operating housing. We really rely on our partners like Northwest Housing Authority and CLATSIP, CCA and CAT and those types of organizations to really own and operate housing. And then we can provide funds or other incentives for them to build or renovate housing.
Well, we could have a very long conversation about all things about the city of Astoria, but I'd like to now move to Kate. Please tell us about what's happening at the library right now.
Yes, but first I have to defend millennials because I think that describes me, and I will say that we love Astoria as is with all that character that you're talking about.
Yes.
So that's something that would not be what it is without, you know, preserving that authenticity.
Right, the wabi sabi.
Right.
Yes.
So back onto the library, which is what I'm passionate about. We have the open house tomorrow night for our esteemed director, Jane Tucker, who is retiring. Come help us celebrate at 5:00. We also have the summer reading program kickoff in mid-June, right after school gets out. That's always a popular event. And then I'd like to shout out to my Write Astoria group. We meet the first and third Wednesdays of the month at the library. That's a group to share ideas and works in progress with fellow writers. So, hi, writers.
So, okay, well, wait a second. I want to get a little, dive a little more deeply into
Please.
That because I went to the library website, and the Astoria World Library, and saw just a lot of cool things that I don't know if a lot of people in, you know, in this area realize are happening. So let's talk about the fact that tonight is the open house for the weigh in on the future of the library. Tomorrow night is a celebration party for Jane Tucker, who is our library, who's retiring.
Yes.
And who's going to take over then? or what's
We
happening?
Are working on that. We have the applications closed on the 10th and are being reviewed. The library board is watching the director process very closely, of course.
Do we get a lot of applications?
31.
31, okay.
So that is a hot position.
Good. All right, so now, so the library board will be interviewing candidates.
We will not be interviewing candidates as far as I know, but we are definitely watching the progress.
Okay, who will interview the candidates?
City manager hires the
department
heads.
Oh, the city manager will hire. Yes. That's right, of course.
So Brett he'll develop the interview panel.
Okay, so Brett will be hiring. Perfect,
yep.
Okay. And so what time is the retirement party for
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock tomorrow night. Okay, so that's Thursday. Today's Wednesday, so tonight's open house for the future. Tomorrow night, Jane Tucker. And again, the summer reading programs. And then tell me a teeny bit more about the writing program.
Sure.
So are you doing that program?
I am. Amy Kreider at the library had helped a group form previously. They disbanded, and she asked me personally to start a new group. We've been meeting since November of last year, and it's been going so well. We now meet twice a month.
And when do you? And is it open to people, other writers?
It is open to writers. We have writers of all kinds, poetry, fiction, really everything. It's a great group. I really try and keep it positive. We do a meditation to increase our sort of creative thinking. It's been going really well. It's from 5 to 7. We try and get out of there before the library closes.
Okay, 5 to 7 what days?
First and third Wednesdays.
First and third Wednesdays, 5 to 7. Well, your enthusiasm is contagious. All right, we just have a couple of minutes left. Any last things that you would like the listening audience to know, Kevin?
It's going to be a busy summer in Astoria. And so there's so much stuff going on that it's hard to choose one item. But if there's one project I'm particularly excited about, it's the future of economic development in Astoria. We have a very great tourism industry here in Astoria, but we can't rely on that moving forward. We need to really grow our different business sectors in Astoria. So that's what I'm going to be working on over the next year.
So diversified.
Diversifying our portfolio
okay,
of economic
absolutely.
Development.
Absolutely. Yep. And as we talked about, and economic development, which I already know you understand, which is compatible with mm-hmm. the culture, the heritage, the resources, which exist here, not incompatible. So that's a positive, wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that, Kevin. Mm-hmm. That's important. And any last thing that you would like to say?
Yes, Kate? I would like to ask young families, people with young children, if you don't use the library now, please know that we're trying to build you a new library that you'll want to go to 5 times a week. So please either come tonight and give us your feedback, contact me, contact Kevin, let us know what you need for you and your kids.
The library right now serves a lot of folks. However, we need to be able to move into this century because things are changing and we don't have those resources because of the building and everything else. And we just have another minute or so that's why I wanted to just kind of go back to that, the reason why it's so important. And as Jane Tucker has said many times on this program, libraries are ever more essential in this world of where people are disconnected. It's a place to connect. And as you say, like that's a community center. If you want to know what's happening, usually there's the bulletin board at the library. You stop in at the library and you find out what's happening in town.
Yes.
Whether it's lectures or, you know,
yes.
Again, I didn't know about the writing thing. So that's fantastic.
Yes.
All right, Terry Wilson, anything else that you have to say or have a question about? Okay. All right. Well, I think then we're just going to remind folks that tonight, 4:30 to 6:30 at the Astoria Public Library, this is your opportunity to see 6 new options for the future of Astoria Public Library and to weigh in, to talk to the consultants, talk to the city staff, talk to the library staff and the board. So please, please come tonight. It's so important. I don't know what I would have done without books in a library as a child. And our children need it ever more today. All of us do. Thank you so much, both of you, for the great work that you're doing.
Thanks, Donna.
I will see you
Thanks
tonight at the
us.
Library. Absolutely. Terry Wilson, see you at the library tonight. All about words. All about words, books, thoughts. Mm. And thanks, Terry, for your wonderful engineering, as always. And also, I express my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so healthy. It's a positive thing to do for your body. It helps everything. And then focus on the things that are working well in your life. There are always those things that won't go well. Just look at the news. And then say, no, I am here. I am now in this moment. And take that breath and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. for doing the best you can, and for being here now, the only moment which exists in this now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.